the name of Jesus, amen. Some would call the day of Pentecost the birthday of the church. I would not say it's the day that we start something completely new, but rather a great way to look back on God's amazing unfolding plan and how in Pentecost he takes it to another level. It's an opportunity to partake and participate in what has happened. After all, we'll take that birthday theme. We were up at the library a few months ago, and we were listening to a jazz band there. And suddenly, the lady who was teaching points out little Goshen and says, "Today is his birthday! Let's play and sing him happy birthday." And I was baffled because it wasn't his birthday at all. But he was actually wearing, after a while, I realized, a bib that said, "My first birthday." And in a moment when everybody was looking forward and thinking of a new thing to do, I realized that birthdays invite us to think about the past. What has happened over the years to get us to this day? As we look on this day when God sent his Holy Spirit in special measure out to begin a new chapter, I like to marvel at God's plan in action. You see, on this day, Jerusalem would have been very full. It would have been still one of the three festival days where men, and as many as possible, would have been encouraged, somewhere between encouraged and commanded, to come to Jerusalem and celebrate. And many pilgrims who were there for Passover 50 days earlier would have stayed for the festival of Shavuot, a first fruits festival related to the barley harvest, but also a commemoration of when God gave his 10 commandments, or 10 words, or 10 statements to his people. And soon after, a covenant was cut with them by Moses, his representative. And so people would have had this image in their mind, this remembrance of being on Mount Sinai with the shaking of Mount Sinai, with the lightning and the thunder and the wind and the giving of God's holy word to them in a new revelation. And as the apostles came out that day, I believe from the temple, the house of God, and started speaking in languages they had never even studied before, they would have had the tongues of fire on their head. They would have had languages come out of many different nations that people who had gathered would have heard, and many would have played the game, "Where have I heard this before?" Some kind of noise or wind heard about the large area, tongues of fire coming down, languages being heard, and God being proclaimed in a way that hadn't quite been heard before, a new revelation of himself. And many wouldn't have had to think very hard as they were celebrating that moment on Mount Sinai. In fact, it was commonly known that the teaching of the sages in a tradition was that God did not just speak in one language that day, whether it be in Hebrew or something else on Mount Sinai. But the legend does that when he spoke his commands, his words, his statements, there were tongues, language-speaking tongues of fire that came down. And the Lord spoke in 70 languages of the world. And suddenly you see a parallel of God taking the revelation and the covenant spread out on Mount Sinai and revealed and fulfilled fuller on this Pentecost day. 50 days before that day on Mount Sinai was the Passover, when they put blood above their door, when God showed his deliverance to them. And 50 days later, they cut a covenant, or he cut a covenant with them to be his people, and gives a hint that his mission of all is not just for the people gathered at Sinai, and not just the people, the offspring to come, but it's for people yet to come and yet to be gathered in language yet to be even heard or spoken by people of that nation. See, God has a profound way of giving us a hint of what he is going to do and then later fulfilling it before our very eyes. Often when we're so tempted to look at how is this new, what is God doing new here, the thing to do is actually look at what story, what action, what teaching has God given us before in his word and is using it to connect, to show his further mission and revelation on this day. And so God sends a message of the deliverance and the covenant that he gave with his people out of Egypt and at Mount Sinai is going one step further that he has always hinted at, whether it be that day on Mount Sinai or through the prophets. A message, though, is going out to the world. A salvation, a savior that is going out to gather people. And as the apostles went out that day and made people marvel, those who were ethnically Jewish and spoke Hebrew, or those who had been part of the diaspora and spoke different languages, and maybe didn't expect to hear something in a language they understood, suddenly marveled that God reached out to them. Even those Gentiles who had converted proselytes into the Judaic religion marveled that he spoke directly to them in their language this day through the apostles. God's plan is unfolding. And there's another 50-day marker here. After all, 50 days before this Pentecost day, you had Jesus at the Passover table, declaring the works of his body and his blood, of his deliverance, of cutting a new covenant with the people, as we will be reminded this morning. This is my blood of the covenant shed for you. And again, covenants don't wipe out what previously came before. They always build. They take what was there and they take it to fulfill to the next level. It's like that chalice cup being added once more, more fully, more clearly of who God is and what he has done through his Savior. And so after this remembrance of the participatory Passover, of the new covenant that Jesus declared, given by his crucifixion on the cross, after the resurrection, here we have another 50 days. And we see the ripples of God's plan unfold again. I say ripples intently. I'm guessing if you're anything like me, you have taken, when you've been at a body of water, you've looked around for some kind of stone or pebble. And you fancy people, you'll skip it, right? You'll try and make it jump. If you're a simpleton like me, you're just going to plop it in there, listen for that sound, and what are you going to look for? The ripples, right? I spoiled it already. Can't keep a secret. I never would know. Yeah, you see those ripples, right? Going outward, spreading through the water. And here you have the fulfillment, just the first step of what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, at his ascension, celebrated not long ago. After the disciples asked, "Lord, is it now, right now, that you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father is going to do things, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And again, the Holy Spirit, he has breathed on them before, right? This isn't a totally new thing. This is another level, another revelation of the Spirit to them. He has said to them before, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But here we have a special, another level of the Spirit given. "He has come upon you, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses," where? Listen for the ripples. "In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth." You hear them? Here they are that morning, or that afternoon, in Jerusalem, gathered for Shavuot with many, many others of the nation of Jerusalem, possibly even at the temple, ground zero of God's presence in the day. And as you continue to read through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1 here, Jesus' words, chapter 2 with Pentecost and Peter's words, continuing the sermon, you will see the disciples, you will see the apostles, the sent ones, go out as Jesus planned, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. Fellow saints, let us marvel at God's plan unfolding that has come all the way to us, the nations, the Gentiles at the end of the earth. Those who could not have imagined, if we were just standing back and reading this from afar, about a people group of a God of the universe who he gathered at Mount Sinai to marvel and say, "I get to be part of that God's plan. I get to hear the message of how that God saves the world. And the word he speaks, and the commands he gives, and the statements he makes, and the language he speaks is not just for them. But he is going to send out ripples into the world that even simple ears like this can hear and understand. And by the power of the Spirit, believe that a far-fetched story like fire of tongues coming out, enabling language, speaking from a shaking mountain or on a temple, is indeed a true story of the God of the universe who saves the world, who has unfolded his plan and his ways that we may be part of that saving plan. One who gathers the nations and sees a foretaste at Jesus' own birth. The Magi who come are, in a sense, the first fruits of us, the ones who come from other nations to see the King, God's plan in action and in fruition before him. I always say there are certain sermons I like to have. Some are teaching something new. Some are questioning. Some are marveling. Fellow saints, this is what I call a marveling sermon. When we may be tempted to look at simply what is new about our text here, to first marvel at how God has this massive plan that ripples throughout thousands of years and since creation was made. To marvel once again that a Savior who was born in Bethlehem and had a few people come from the nations, he would send out his apostles to and grab even more to be part of his kingdom and his sheepfold. And to marvel once again that we who were far off in the nations, far off in our sin, far off in our understanding, and far off in our faith by our hardened hearts, we're approached by God's message through his Spirit, sent out from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, sent up by the Spirit to crumble our hearts that are so stubborn to listen and our ears that are so unwilling to listen sometimes. And to see that we gather here this morning by the grace of God, by the death of the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a day, whether it's a birthday or not, to reflect, to rejoice on what God has done by his people, with his people, and for his people. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith to life everlasting. Amen.